How would you be if God gave you, apart from salvation, if God gave you a gift? How would you unwrap it? Yeah, I knew this all along.
Ooh.
I wish I had that one. Why didn't I get that one? You become bratty about it. Explore the concept of God giving you a gift other than salvation in the following three questions. The first one is, why is the church like a body? It's an analogy that's given to us a couple of times through the New Testament. And the church is the body of Christ. Christ is the head and we are the body. And we're going to explore that just a little bit in a moment. But I'm told that in my body, all my cells die every 7 years. And it produces a new set of cells. I thought that's quite a nice illustration of the church. People come, people go, and every 7 years we get regenerated or something like that. But I thought, no, wait, you know what that actually means? I'm on my eighth body. I'm not the man that Francie married once upon a time. I'm a totally different person, for better or for worse, for richer or poorer, in sickness and in health. But you see, the body is an integrated organism where one part plays its part for the whole. It's not like a municipality. A municipality, you phone up the municipality and you say, I've got a problem, there's something on my verge, you need to take it. They say, sorry, don't phone Parks Department, you've got to phone finance because they've got to arrange for the money to get this off your verge. And you say, no, I want you because you, no, unless you've gone to, through that department. That department doesn't speak to the Parks Department because it's actually the Department of Works who has the trucks. And so you get this dysfunctional organism where nobody speaks to anybody else. In fact, the mayor could actually be replaced 4, 5, 6, 7 times and you won't even know the difference in your municipality because it's just an organization. And God hasn't called us to operate within an organization. He's called us to interface in a body. So it doesn't matter who we are, whether we are the elite of society or whether we are a squatter. God says that the church must operate as a body, everybody playing its part as he calls us to. And because of that, we're put under Christ as the head. Now that's also important because as soon as a church loses its focus on Christ, it ceases to be a church, it becomes an organization. It becomes an organization with different functions and different people doing different things at different times, but there is no cohesion to what is happening. There's no single focus saying, this is what we're about, and this is what we're doing, and this is why we're doing it. And so the single vision of the church is to know Christ so as to make him known. And it doesn't matter what ministry you see around the church, every single one of us is playing a part to bring about that goal, to glorify Christ so that not only within the church, but outside of the church, he's known. And so we never behave alone. We never do things alone. And we find our identity. We find our link to Jesus, who is the head. And we don't have a choice as to what we do. God has made us as we are for a specific purpose within the church. There's nobody who's left out. There's nobody who's forgotten. So if I turn to Romans chapter 12, I see that each member belongs to all the others. We've got different gifts according to the grace that is given to us. There's never an occasion when the eye says, I don't want to be an eye, I want to be an ear. You can't have a whole church with eyes. You can't have a whole church with just little kids or with just old people. You can't have a church from one demographic, either rich or poor or whatever demographic we come from. You can't have one church just with everybody with shared experiences. That's not the church. Everybody's got their own unique function to be used for the good of the whole. It's not up to the church to say, I don't think we need the lung. I don't like my face. I don't like my body shape. It's not for us to say, this is how the church must run or must look. We only want hipsters, or we only want the people who are over 95, or whatever it looks like. In the same way that the shoulder can't say, I want to divorce the arm from the rest of the body because of the pain in the neck. The pancreas can't say, I'm sick and tired of my noisy neighbor, the stomach, grumbling the whole time. I want to move to a different part of the body. And I think we understand that far better as we open God's word. And I'm going to ask that 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Francie's going to read to us from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, just to show us the diversity of the body and the different roles in which different people, thanks Francie, can come up, different roles where different people play their part so that the glory of God is displayed in everything that we do. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, from verse 12.
The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. This is the word of God.
Having understood that we are part of the body, my second question is, do I need a ministry? Well, yeah, I do need a ministry, obviously, otherwise you'll come here and just sing, which maybe some of you wouldn't mind. But as we are made differently, God says, I have made you specifically for, in this instance, Christ Church Hilton. Not any other church, you're part of this body if you belong to our fellowship. That's not to say that you need to sign up membership, although we would like you to. It's not to say that if you don't do something in the church, you can't be a Christian. That's not your level of assurance. Lots of people have come to church. Lots of people attend services each week. Lots of people don't realize the work that goes behind the music group practicing or the person that we need to sort out the books in the library or anything else. You just come, you pitch up, and you think everything's fine. But if you just ask anybody who's going to set up a table, there are about 24 tables that are going to be set up, the time and the effort that they've spent just to do a 20-minute job at the end of service, you'll suddenly see how much work goes in, because all that is it's the facade of a whole lot of work that is going on otherwise. So for example, via doing the helping with the extensions, the alterations at the back of the church, it wasn't a case of saying, okay, I can give 20 minutes to the church and that's all I've got. Or the fact that Robin designs everything and makes sure that everybody comes together for the building, or whatever it is. It's not a 10, 5-minute job. It's a dedication saying, this is my expertise and this is what I can use for the glory of God. Yes, there are people who, somebody described them as tonsils in the body. You've no idea why they are here. The only time you actually hear from them is when they flare up and it hurts. When they don't function terribly well, they slow the whole body down. And frankly, some feel that their removal will be a huge relief. Sorry, that was quoted from another source. Just in case you're thinking, I'm speaking about you directly, just calm down a bit. What we are certain of is, although that there are tonsils and appendixes and various other things, appendices, do I need a ministry? Yes, but not everybody is called to stand up and preach, be trained at Bible college. But God's given each one of us individually a ministry. And the question is, how do we open that present? Do we look at somebody else and say, I really wish that I could play music? I had a nephew who said to his mom, I really wish I could play piano like my sister does. And my sister said, well, if you practice, you'll be good enough and you could play. He said, no, mom, you didn't hear the question. I didn't say, I wish I could practice like my sister does. I wish I could play. And that's what so often happens. We just want to see the outworking and the external, but we're not prepared to get involved in the background work and the hard graft. And one thing that we are told is that we work together for three purposes, and you'll find this in our next reading from Ephesians 4. It's for the perfecting of saints, it's for the work of the ministry, it's for the building up of the body of Christ.
Ephesians chapter 4, and starting from verse 11. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be as infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. This is the word of the Lord.
That is the glory of the church, that everybody does their little bit. Kurt will tell you how incredibly frenetic it can get just before service, with things that aren't working. Sometimes a computer decides it's going to do its own thing and it's not going to show, it's not going to project. And as people come together, and as people are called, I've got the rest of my sermon. I thought Tim took my sermon, and I thought, okay, that's not good. As we sign up for different gifts, we're not signing up to a country club. We pay our dues, we sign up on the form, and we say, okay, when I need it, I know it's there. It's my insurance. I'll just make sure that I keep in touch every now and so often. You look at how God has given us benefits for the use of the whole church. And if you're opening the gift saying, oh, I think I've got the wrong gift, that might be true. But if you open the gift saying, this is a gift that I'm really grateful for, and I'm going to share it with everybody, then we're being part of the body of Christ. Maybe you haven't yet found your niche. You haven't found where you fit into Christ Church Hilton. Then you'll ask the third question. So the first question is, why is it called a body? Secondly, do I need a ministry? Thirdly, how has the Lord made me to fit in? I don't know if you've ever considered that there are so many things in your life that you didn't choose. If you're grumpy, you'll say yes. Yeah, I know, I recognize that. But just think of the things that you didn't choose. You didn't choose to be born, to start off with. You didn't choose your parents. You certainly didn't choose your siblings. You didn't choose your nationality. You didn't choose your gender. You didn't choose the epoch or the age in which you were born. You didn't choose the country that you would be born in, even if it wasn't South Africa. Those are things you didn't choose. But what happens if somebody says, I chose them for you? I placed you in a specific place, in a specific age, for a specific purpose, in a company of a specific church, in order to accomplish my glory. That's not out of the question. If we just consider what What Paul says, God determined the times set for them and the exact places where they should live. God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he's not far from each one of us. So God's given us unique experiences, a unique education. He's given us a passion for something. He's given us our spiritual gifts, all for his glory. I couldn't find a better example, and I've used it quite often, so forgive me once again, of Joseph. Joseph in the Old Testament didn't choose where he was born. He didn't choose his brothers. He didn't choose that he was the favored child. He didn't choose the fact that he was given the coat, that his brothers threw him in the pit, that the brothers sold him into slavery. He didn't choose that he was with Mrs. Potiphar, who decided to accuse him wrongfully of making sexual advances. He didn't choose to go to prison. And yet when his brothers came, the people who started it, and he was looking them in the face, he said to them, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." So if you think of the experiences that have hurt you, and your capacity to cope or not to cope, or your circle of friends, or the phone calls that you received, if you think of the most hurtful memories that you've got, or your ability to press through them, showing dogged determination, or the education that you were afforded or could not afford to go to, or the deep desire that you have for the poor, or the vulnerable, or the lost, or the hurting, or the homeless, or the grieving, or your love for cancer patients, your love for music, your love for the arts, your love for the elderly, your love for woodworking, or painting, or cooking, or DIY, or your love for saying, "I love to manage things and just make sure everything's got its place," or for nurturing kids, or for teaching, or for healing, or your love for people who don't know the Lord, atheists, or Muslims, or Hindus, or whatever. God has said, "I've given you the heart that you've got to be used for my glory." Somebody has expressed it in the acronym SHAPE. S-H-A-P-E. S stands for spiritual gifts. H stands for your heart's desire. A stands for your abilities. P stands for your personality. And E stands for your experiences. That makes you individually unique. There's not another one on earth like you. Not everybody has gone to the school that you've gone and had the experiences that you've had and have the passion and the love for the Lord Jesus Christ and everything else. Each can be used to reach and connect with God's people. Let me put it in a more theological way. Instead speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. And from him, the whole body, joined and held together by each supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each does its part. So God's made you distinct for his glory. And whether it's the person who fills up the sugar basin so that we can have tea and coffee after the service, or the chairman of the council, we need them both. Whether it's the person who has learned to read music and plays in a music group, or puts those flags out on the main road on a Sunday morning, we need both. Or the person hosting a family or cooking meal for an aged person, or a person who gives a lift to somebody needing to come to church, or who folds the bulletins, or who types out the minutes for the council meetings, or a person who loves embarking on projects, or cutting down trees, or planting trees, or not everybody can do it. Not everybody's got the same love, the same gifting. And yet, we as a church come together on a Sunday and we worship God together from all our various backgrounds, with all our different gifts, young and old, all doing work for the glory of God. I don't know where you fit in. And maybe you say, "I can't fit in." There's a difference between "I can't fit in" and "I don't want to fit in." And if you say, "I can't fit in," come and chat to me, and we can find a place for you to fit in. Loving Lord, we thank you so much that from the age of naught to the age of 120, we've got people who are willing to serve you, willing to be there and encourage others to be part of the body. We pray that looking into your word would not just be an academic exercise, but that it would encourage us to say, here I am, Lord, use me. And we pray this for the glory of your name. Amen.